This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome along to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the tennis podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. It's a big week of tennis. It's the second leg of the Sunshine Double over in America. It's the Miami Open. We spoke about the WTA Tour and that event last night with Rory Giovanni. And I'm delighted to say joining me to break down the men's draw, which is a fantastic men's draw, is our senior tennis ATP Tour handicapper, four because we win, it's Sean Calvert, fresh from his trip to Indian Wells. How are you, Sean? You're looking a lot more refreshed than the last time we saw you. You looked absolutely shattered, my friend, last time. 27 really? To get there. Looks like you had a nice bit of sleep and you look a lot better today.
I've been sleeping quite a bit since I've been back, actually. Yeah, it is a bit of a difficult one, Indian Wells, because it's a long way away, but and obviously it's 8 hours time difference, and it was made even more difficult by the fact that I took so long to get there because I missed the connection and all that sort of stuff. So, it's a bit of a bad one for the sort of jet lag and getting back into the time zones. But yeah, I've had a few days rest. I'm feeling reasonably fresh and ready to go, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big tournament this week. Last week, we looked at Indian Wells. Carlos Alcaraz, the team sensation, recaptured the number one spot on the ATP Tour rankings. It really was a very, very impressive display for him. I must admit, conditions did suit for him, but on all tournament, he did impress. Some of the shot making and some of the skills we saw and shows you what a talent this young lad is. Before we wrap into going to this week onto the tournament in Miami, break down the draw. What were your takeouts from last week? And what sort of players did impress you when you saw firsthand, or anybody you thought to yourself, all doesn't look good in that player?
I think it was a pretty typical Indian Wells, really. I was slightly surprised that Medvedev was moaning about the conditions being slow, because it's always that slow. It's always those sort of conditions there. It's slow, it's high bouncing, it does suit the clay courts. Yeah, Alcaraz was impressive. We said all along, didn't we, that he should be the favourite on the outrights rather than Medvedev based on the conditions. And the way that the final played out, that sort of backed up that theory, didn't it? It was pretty clear to me that the conditions would be more obviously suited to Alcaraz than they were to Medvedev. But I mean, as far as our bet is concerned, we had Jannik Sinner, didn't we? I thought we were unlucky, really. He had a decent chance against Alcaraz. I didn't think Alcaraz was particularly great against Sinner. If Sinner had taken that set point that he had in the opening set, I think we could have had a different result there. There's only 4 points in that match overall. We'll talk more about that later. But, Sinner won more first serve points. He won more second serve points. He didn't have a good serving day, Sinner. He only served at 50%. That's not going to beat you a Carlos Alcaraz in many conditions. But conditions there well suited to Alcaraz. We'll see if they're as well suited to Alcaraz this week as they were last week.
I think that's the big question. We're going to come on to that in a minute. But just last week as well, the final, Medvedev against Alcaraz. Medvedev started favourite on the first lines that come out. Medvedev was the favourite.
Yeah,
the
he money was priced as favourite, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a very strange betting move for him, and a very strange move originally, I thought, to make him favourite. I know he's been in form winning those three tournaments, but tiredness must be coming into account for that as well.
I think it was the same mindset the bookies had all along by making him favourite for the tournament ahead of Alcaraz. I think they just went on the outdoor hardcourt stats, which did slightly favour Medvedev, but Indian Wells isn't a normal, if you like, outdoor hardcourt. It's much slower, much grittier, much higher bouncing. It obviously suited Alcaraz over Medvedev, but I think they rectified that error pretty quickly, didn't they? They put up Medvedev as favourite, and then about half an hour so later, the money came, and either that or they just realised it was wrong, and then the prices flip flopped, and it was never in any danger, really, was he, Alcaraz, in that final?
No, I thought he played brilliant, but I just did sort of worry that Medvedev had just probably one match too far. Given that
possibly, and he had that injury as well. He had two injuries. He did his hand in as well, didn't he? As well as his foot and ankle. So he was in the waters again. We'll see how he shapes up this week. Medvedev, he's played a lot of tennis. Accumulated fatigue could be a big thing with him this week.
Well, let's have a look at the Miami Open tournament. Look at the outright markets and look at the draw itself. I think the big question we got to before we even consider a wager The big question we've got to look about is the court conditions. Now, obviously, traditionally, this is a court that's usually quite slow. From our sources in Miami and from people, we think it's going to play a lot faster this over the next 10 days. We think that could change the way that we originally thought that the tournament might go. But that's not very good news for Carlos Alcaraz if it is faster. It's good news for the American players, and it's good news for Medvedev, obviously, on the back of last week. So I think before we go anywhere, the court conditions are crucial here is for our betting strategy going ahead in this match, in this tournament.
Yeah, I'd got all lined up, ready to back a few clay courts here, because it is, as you said, it's a lake hold outdoor hard court surface, which is the same one they use at the US Open, but it's much more humid here. It's as you'll find out when you get there, it's extremely humid. You know, it varies between sort of 62-63% and about 75% humidity, as well as being around about 28, 29, 30 degrees Celsius. So that makes it very, very hot. It also makes the balls fluff up a bit and makes them not as quick through the air. It's not a particularly quick surface anyway, the lake hold. It's kind of a medium-paced surface. And it usually has favoured the players that do tend to struggle on quick surfaces. I mean, it also doesn't take spin as well as Indian Wells. You know, you can just look at Rafael Nadal. He's never won Miami. And that tells you it's not a particularly good court for players with big, heavy topspin like the Jack Sox and the Nadals. They haven't done so well here because it doesn't bounce quite as much and it is a little bit slower off, you know, through the air and off the surface. But our sources tell us it's going to be quicker this year. I think that's interesting. If it is quicker, I think they would have had to have tweaked the courts quite a bit because, as I say, the humidity makes it. It's one of the big factors in the reason that it is a little bit slower. But statistically, if we're looking at seasons gone by, as far as holds, service points, first serve points won, all that sort of stuff, it's very, very similar to Indian Wells. They're both Indian Wells and here, generally speaking, are slow surfaces. But now we're hearing that it's going to be a bit quicker this year. That'll be really interesting.
Yeah, I think it could be a rebase on the tournament as we go past the first round and see the court action.
Yeah, it's worth looking, I think. Yeah, it's worth looking and just seeing what's going on because it's not going to be easy to speed it up, I don't think.
We've got some women's action today as well, so maybe have a look at them before we look at the results as well, them and see how we factor them in for the games that we're going to talk about, which start on Wednesday. Let's have a look at the outright markets. Carlos Alcaraz is the favourite, plus 260. He's defending champion here. He also won last week, as we said, in Indian Wells. Traditionally, is there a good trend? Is it many people do the Sunshine Double? Is it something that you want to fade the player who won the previous week? Or usually does the player who win the week comes in with a bit of form and momentum? Obviously, the two long tournaments, 10-day tournaments rather than a weekly tournament. I haven't. You'll probably look a bit more than me, but I would have thought that potentially it would be a fade rather than to get with the player who won last week.
I mean, over the years, it's been very, very difficult to do the Sunshine Double. Mm. But that said, Novak Djokovic did it three times in a row.
That's Novak Djokovic. I was just trying to think when
he actually did it. 2014 to 2016, he did both back-to-back three times in a row. Then Federer did it the very next year, 2017. So it was done four times in a row in between 2014 and 2017. But away from that, it's generally proved quite tricky to do. But, you know, those guys didn't find it that difficult. So, you know, you could argue that if Alcaraz is a cut above these players, then he shouldn't have any physical problems in doing it back to back. My concern with Alcaraz, with the information that we've now got, would be the court speed.
Yeah, he's only 19 years of age. He should be able to play 20 days worth of tennis. I think at that age, you've got no fear. He is the favourite at plus 260. The big doubt, obviously, is that court speed. He's in the top quarter. He's the number one seed in his quarter. He's got Holger Rune, Denis Shapovalov, two Americans, Taylor Fritz and Tommy Paul, also a third American, Maxime Cressy, you would expect of him to play in the last 32. So the draw's been rather favourable towards him in that quarter. I don't think it's going to be anybody really to worry him. I think probably Taylor Fritz or Tommy Paul will give him a game if the conditions are fast. I mean, that's the big if here. The second favourite is Daniil Medvedev. He's $3. He's positioned in Q3, the number four seed here. He's got a rather favourable draw again. Hercas, Shelton, Krujic, Cam Norrie. But he's got some injury concerns, isn't he? So we probably want to put a line through him or watch him in the first round to see how he goes, or the second round.
So who's that, sorry?
Medvedev.
Yes, Medvedev. Well, as we say, accumulated fatigue, I think, is going to be a big thing with him. You know, he's made four finals in a row, won three of them, had that nasty fall last week, problem with his hand as well. I think if you look at it statistically, Medvedev and Alcaraz, in the terms of their service points won and return points won in Miami so far in their careers, it's exactly the same. They're both on 107, which is slightly surprising, seeing as Medvedev's never won it. Not really been close to winning it. Again, it's all about these conditions. If it is quicker this year, that obviously gives Medvedev more of a chance. But I've got my eye on one in the bottom half of the draw to take Medvedev on with.
Okay, so we'll just go through the betting. Third favourite, Jannik Sinner at plus $9. Stefanos Tsitsipas, who's had problems with injuries, well, and form, is plus $1,200. Holger Rune, who was very disappointing last week in Indian Wells, he's $1,600. Felix Auger-Aliassime at $1,600. Taylor Fritz is $2,000. Casper Ruud, the beaten finalist last year, is $2,000. Andrei Rublev is $2,000. And then we go into Cam Norrie, Zverev, and Hercas, who range between $2,200 and $2,800. So, Sean, before we come on to your pick in the bottom half of the draw, who is the man that you want to be with this week in Miami as your idea of a likely winner?
I think I'm going to stick with Jannik Sinner, who we had last week. It's not often I stick with players, as you know. I tend to bin them off pretty quickly if they've had a bad result. But I think, as I said earlier, I think it was just a little bit unlucky, Sinner, in that match against Alcaraz. 50% first serves is not going to win you many matches against elite players. You know, if he'd made it 60%, I think you would have seen a very different match. He was only 4 points behind in terms of total points won, as I said, whilst serving at 50%. And the fact that it is going to be quicker this week, we believe it's going to be quicker this week, I think that will definitely benefit Sinner, and it won't be to the benefit of Alcaraz. Now, Sinner's got a great record here. He's played 9 completed matches. He retired last year in the quarterfinals against Cerundolo. He's won 8 of them. You know, his service points won and return points won here is 103. Former finalist, lost in the final to Hercash. Probably should have won that. I think he was a bit nervous. Perhaps came a bit too soon for him. You know, conditions have suited him here. He's playing well. He just that service percentage just really cost him against Alcaraz. I think on a different day, which obviously this will be, gets more first serves in, slightly quicker conditions. I don't see any reason to abandon him. I think he's still one of the top two or three that are most likely to win this tournament for me. And I got him at 11-1 this morning.
11-1 this morning. The price currently now is plus $900 with BetRivers. Is it an each way pick, Sean, or just a win only pick?
I think it'd just be win only because he probably has to go through Alcaraz. So, I mean, you're back in each way and you get another semi-final loss, that'd be tough to say. But I think Alcaraz has got, you know, if it is going to be quick, I think he's got some players there that could definitely beat him on their day. You know, Fritz, Paul, the two obvious ones. Shapovalov, maybe if he finds his absolute best form, which we haven't seen from him for a very long time. It's not likely, but Holger Rune, Andy Murray, these guys can potentially beat Alcaraz on their day.
Yeah, if you look at the second of the draw, he's in the second quarter, Jannik Sinner, Sean's pick. If the conditions are fast, as we believe they are, there's not many real dangers in that draw. You've got Casper Ruud, obviously, wanting to be as slow as possible. Van der Sandschup, who is too inconsistent for me. Batista Agut coming towards the end of his career, I wouldn't bet him. Alexander Zverev on the comeback trail from injury. Dimitrov, which will be his opponent in the last 16. Kecmanovic and Rublev. So really, that's not a difficult quarter, is it? You know, you would look at that and think, well, he's a heavy favourite to get to the semi-finals. And if we can get Alcaraz beat, we've got a great chance to get into the final at plus $900. So I love that pick as well on Jannik Sinner. I think
the main danger... Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, I think the main danger is Zverev.
Yeah.
You know, we've said before that Zverev doesn't particularly enjoy conditions at Indian Wells, yet he played pretty well. He was lucky to beat Rusev Wari. That's certainly true. But on the flip side of that, he was unlucky not to beat Medvedev. Should have beaten him in straight sets, really, Zverev. So Zverev is obviously one, as you said a few weeks ago, he's coming back to the better form that we know he's capable of, and conditions here will suit him. Definitely, I feel a lot better than Indian Wells. So for me, he's the main danger for Sinner. I mean, Ruud, you know, I'm not sure he can enter the thinking. I know he made the final here last year, and if you are backing him, you're backing him on the basis that that's what he's done and that's what he's capable of, and maybe he can do it again. But on everything we've seen so far in 2023 for Casper Ruud, it's been really poor, hasn't it?
You know, yeah.
Garin stuffed him last week. He beat him so easily. He should have beaten him actually even easier. He had a a break lead in the second set that he squandered, Gary. And he should have beaten him much, much easier than he did. He was miles better. So you need a massive improvement from Casper Ruud to even figure in this tournament.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to figure. I think he's an early casualty. But the trouble is, who's he going to get beaten by? Because you know, there's potentially, if it's fast, maybe Van der Sandschup or Popperino, if they can get through that round.
If Bottic is fit, maybe, yeah. He doesn't seem fit, does he, these days?
Mm-hmm. Just to let you know, obviously, we've got some first-round matches to come, and it's a bye. So all the seeded players, 32 seeded players, are already into the second round. And tomorrow's matches are first-round matches that get the players in to the draw for the second round to place one of the seeds. You said you've got a pick in the bottom half. I'm quite intrigued to see who it is. I'm guessing we're looking to oppose Medvedev. I'm guessing we're certainly looking to oppose Tsitsipas. So there must be some kind of value at some decent prices in that bottom half of the draw as well.
Yeah, I think we have to take Urkash at 33-1. Well, I've taken him at 33-1. Just on the basis that his record here is fabulous. He absolutely loves Miami. He's played 14 matches here and won 12 of them. Obviously won the title a couple of years ago. Won the doubles here as well last year, actually. I think it was with John Isner. Statistics here are comparable to Alcaraz and Medvedev. As I said before, they're on 107 in terms of their service points won and return points won. Hurkacz is on 105. And yet you can get him at 33-1. And, you know, the other two are very much single-figure prices. He's got a good record against Medvedev as well. Beat him here. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. So he's already beaten Medvedev here. He also beat him on grass in Halle, the Halle final last year. He also beat him at Wimbledon. And the two matches that Medvedev won against him have been very, very tight as well. You know, they could have gone either way. So Medvedev has found Hurkacz an extremely difficult opponent, you know, on grass and on hard courts. And he's coming here, you know, Hurkacz, in great spirits. You know, he knows he's been successful here every time he's come here in singles or doubles. His record is fabulous. And what's not to like from his point of view? You know, 33-1 with those statistics, in these conditions that obviously suit him. You know, if it's a touch faster, I don't think that's a problem either, because as I say, he's beaten Medvedev on grass as well. So I think he's the obvious choice, to be honest, in the bottom half of the draw. There is certainly a case to be made for taking on Tsitsipas in Q4. However, I think the two players that are most likely to beat him, as in Felix Auger-Aliassime and Francis Tiafoe, that they're quite unlikely to beat Medvedev if Medvedev was the guy to emerge from the semi-finals in Q3. They both got poor records, very poor records against Medvedev. So I'd be looking to maybe back one of those two to win the quarter, which is just a play that purely takes on Tsitsipas, who's injured. And he's not got a good record here anyway. Tsitsipas never been past the quarterfinals in Miami. So there's certainly a case to be made for taking on Tsitsipas in the quarter winners market. And there's a case to be made for Hurkacz as an each-way play outright.
Yeah, Hurkacz is available at +2,800 currently on the BetRivers website. The other thing about Hurkacz and Sinner is that they're not going to be too really concerned about the court speed. They can both play on these kind of courts already, exactly, as they've proven. And if it gets faster, it's probably a better tick in the box for the pair of them as well. So we're not taking on the unknown on the court. We know we've got a good run for our money on those two players if the conditions are as we expect or if they were what they were last year.
Yeah, it's just going to be a negative for Alcaraz, isn't it? If it's quicker, the quicker it is, you know, the less likely he is to win it. You would have thought, and as I say, he is defending champion, so it's hard to be negative about his chances. He's, you know, he is the favorite, and he's the rightful favorite. But I think Sinner can beat him in the right conditions.
Yeah, Alcaraz +260 favorite, Sinner +900, and our big each way pick is Herbert Hurkacz at 2,800. Let's look at some selected first round matches. As I say, these are the matches to place the big seeds in the round of 32. These are tomorrow on Wednesday. You can check out all these markets on the BetRivers website. Over 42 different markets on each one of these games, handicaps, total games, all kinds of specials on there. And also you can watch these matches on the BetRivers website on the streaming. So if you have a bet on it and you want to watch it on the website, you can do that as well. Let's start off with the top one, probably the most interesting one on the list, Mikhail Yima -129 against Alexei Poprin +104. What do you like here?
I like Poprin. Absolutely, I like Poprin. He's going to be my official play for today. I took him at 2.1 this morning. I just think there are so many reasons to back Poprin, not least the fact that he absolutely thrashed Yima last week in the Phoenix Challenger. I know it's different conditions. It, you know, Phoenix Challenger, it's sort of similar to Indian Wells, kind of slow conditions. But, it, you know, he beat him 6-2, 6-2. He created 17 breakpoint chances on the Ema serve in two sets. You know, for me, I mean, Ema's the kind of guy that not only is he's a confidence player, you know, he tends to have these little streaks of confidence and streaks where he's just not able to do anything. He seems to be in one of the latter at the moment. You know, if we look at his record so far this season, he's won four out of his 12 main level matches in 2023. He's only held serve 66% of the time at main level this season. His service points won and return points won total for 2023 at main level is just 95. Popirin's on 100, by the way. And his service hold and break total is 89, which is not even close to the level that you would expect from a world number 53. Again, Popirin's is 98. So Popirin's well ahead in the stats so far this season. He beat him very, very easily last week in the Phoenix Challenger. And Popirin's got a decent record here. He played Medvedev really tough here a couple of years ago. Medvedev eventually won it 6-4 in the third. But Popirin's also beaten Riley Opelka here very easily. He's beaten Musetti. And I think, you know, if it's quicker, that's not going to be a problem for Popirin. He's got a massive advantage on serve against Ema. I mean, Ema breaks serve an awful lot more than Popirin. Popirin doesn't break serve enough, but if you're creating 17 breakpoint chances in two sets on your opponent's serve, you're not doing too much wrong, are you? I just think that's a very, very short price on him. He's not been in any sort of form. He lost to Rinki Hijikata, the near Indian Wells. He hasn't beaten a top 100 player for ages. It's a shocking price, really, on Emo and the form that he's in. I'm happy to take Popirin all day long as underdog in this one.
Yeah, Popirin is currently +104. He did have a poor 2022, but in 2023, Popirin's come back with some form. He beat Taylor Fritz in the Australian Open and reached the quarterfinals in Adelaide. And he did quite well in Indian Wells, reaching the second round before he got beat by Sean's pick, Herbert Hurkacz. If you look at the BetRivers website, the spread is 1.5. You can bet Popirin +1.5 at -124. And the totals are 22.5 at -112 for overs and unders -114. There's 29 different other bets on that market as well. And they're scheduled to start around about 12 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow on Wednesday. So head to the BetRivers website. Don't make sure you don't miss out. That is Sean's only official pick. But there are four other games there, Sean, that you've sort of put on there and you might have a few leans. But obviously court conditions are going to sway your opinion here. Just take it away from, you know, how you see the rest of the games and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I put these in before I realised it was going to be slightly quicker based on the conditions that it's previously been in Miami. We're yet to really 100% know what it's going to be like, but obviously we feel like it's going to be quicker from what we've heard. The reason I put Ramos in, again, is a classic case of the slow conditions not favouring the betting favourite here, Huesler. He's never played Miami. He's in awful form. You know, he's not playing with any sort of confidence at all. Lost in the Phoenix Challenger last week. He actually got a retirement out of Filip Krajinovic last week in the Phoenix Challenger, but he was miles behind. I think he was 5-2 down in the first set of that match, Huesler, and then he got lucky because Krajinovic retired. That's the only win he's had in about the last sort of six, seven matches. Ramos has got a great record here. His service points won and return points won total in Miami in his career is 102, and he's won 9 of his 16 matches. Again, he's not in good form at all, but we see this all the time from Ramos, don't we? He disappears for like a third of the season, then he'll keep winning for a while, then he'll drop off again. Definitely come back Hughes at that price. I was going to back Ramos, but I'm a little concerned about the surface speed. Certainly wouldn't back Huesler at that price. Yeah. The second one, sorry.
If you just want to look at the website, Huesler is -152, Ramos +123. The spread is 1.5 and the totals are pitched at 22.5. If you want to look at some of the special markets there and maybe get with Ramos on the spread and if you can't pull the trigger on him to win the match at +123. Take away, sorry, mate.
I was just kind of looking at which matches I've got here. The next one is Pella, isn't it? Guido Pella against Varillas. Again, I don't think the court conditions will really make much of a difference here because this game is going to be played out as a sort of clay court style game on a hard court. So I don't think the fact that it's slightly quicker will really make much of a difference. As I said, didn't I, before Indian Wells, that Pella's coming back to form and that he had a decent chance of beating Montero, which he actually did. And then he played a really close match against Talon Griekspoor. There was nothing in that match against Griekspoor off the ground from the baseline. There was nothing in it. It was just the fact that Griekspoor had that extra firepower on the serve that allowed him to win that 7-6, 7-6. So it seems to me like Pella's kind of creeping back to his, you know, his better form after that awfully long injury layoff that he's had. And Varillas not played at all since the clay at Santiago. Lost in the first round to Jarry, didn't he, in Santiago? He then withdrew from the Santiago Challenger. Didn't play that. Not sure what the reason was for that. Obviously didn't play Indian Wells, didn't play the Phoenix Challenger. So he's not played on a hard court since the Australian Open. I just think this, I'm guessing he's either not fit, he's had injury problems, or maybe fatigued. I'm not sure what's happened there, but never played the Miami Open either. So to ask him to come in with no tennis for several weeks and beat Pella as favourite, I'm happy to take a small lean on Pella on that one. Just a small bet, but I do fancy that there's a bit of value on Pella there.
I actually like this bet a lot, Pella. I think Pella's got an unbelievable chance. I mean, I know it was a long, long time ago, but the last couple of times they've played, which was, I think one was 2017 and the other one was in 2014. Easy, they were both on clay. Pella won very, very easily. But when you look at the betting for that game, in 2017, Pella was minus 3,300 to win the match.
Yeah, massive favourite. Yeah.
And in the game pre-match previous to that, it was minus 600 to win the match. Today,
long time ago, yeah.
I know, but he's plus money. And I don't think any court condition is going to change that. I think Pella here at plus money, plus 110, that kind of price, plus 106 currently with Bet Rivers. I think that is a great shout for the players, the proven player. And the winner obviously takes on Denis Shapovalov in the second round. So I totally agree with that play on Pella, because I don't think the conditions are going to be any different if it's fast or slow.
It's going to be a clay court match, isn't it?
And I think Pella's got the edge. Looking good in his comeback recently. You know, we picked him up, played well against Griekspoor, like you say. And Varillas wouldn't trust him at all as a favourite there. So I like that lean towards that one. You've also got Courier up against Lehecka. Lehecka's a very heavy favourite, minus 670. Lehecka obviously does really well in the Australian Open, but hasn't done so good since his exploits in Melbourne.
Yeah, he's lost four of his last five matches now, Lehecka. You said, didn't you, just after the Andy Murray match, when he had all those match points and 100-1 on in play and whatever, I think you said he's a fade for the next however long. And that's proven to be the case. You know, he's lost four of his last five matches, lost to Kokkinakis in the Phoenix Challenger, lost very, very easily to Rublev in Indian Wells. Just looks to me like his confidence has gone. You know, that confidence that he had at the start of the season, it's obviously not there anymore. Losing straight sets to Kokkinakis in slow conditions in Phoenix is not a good result. He'll probably win this match, and the fact that it's quicker is off-putting a little bit about Correa, but Correa's played some decent tennis this season. I think he's just been a little bit fatigued in recent weeks. You know, he had those two tournaments on the clay in the Concepcion Challenger, and then in Cordoba, where he won the title in Concepcion, made the final in Cordoba. He was exhausted after that. We took him on, didn't we, in Buenos Aires? He's not done anything since then. I just think he's been fatigued. He's shown some decent form. He took Fuksovic to five sets at the Australian Open on a hard court. He also played Giron tough as well, 7-5 in the third, also on a hard court. So he's a bit of a pest on a slow hard court. I think Lehecka's going to have to, he'll probably win it. I think maybe 2-1 to Lehecka could be interesting there, or a set to Correa. I'd like it a little bit slower. You know, if it is quicker, that is off-putting about Correa. But that price, you know, on a guy who's lost four of his last five matches, it's concerning. I think 2-1 to Lehecka is probably a decent shout there.
Yeah, he's a minus 670 favourite on the money line. But if you want to oppose him or get with him in various different markets and look for the games, a 2-1 win is plus 290 for Lehecka. Total games here is pitched at a very low 19.5. I'm quite tempted by that at minus 121. You could look at Courier games to get over 8.5 at plus 112. So obviously check out all those different markets with Bet Rivers. And the handicap here, or the spread, is let's have a look what the spread is. I've lost a bit now, but the spread is
4.5 or 5.5, I think, wasn't it?
5.5 with the Courier -137. So there's multiple different ways to oppose Lehecka rather than pull the trigger on Courier at plus 460 on the money line. But obviously, just check those court conditions out today on the women's side before we have our wagers. And the final match you want to talk about is Quintin Halis -286 against Pedro Martinez +225. Again, I think the court speed here is crucial for this match as well.
Yeah. It's just Martinez, isn't it? In slow conditions, slow, humid conditions, you would favour Martinez to do something against Hallease, who likes it quick. You know, Hallease is another one who's barely ever played the Miami Open. I think he played qualies once, 2017, lost to Gombos, I think, if memory serves me correctly. Someone that would like it quicker, Hallease. Martinez again showed what he can do in the slow conditions. He beat Huesler at Indian Wells. Played Felix Auger-Aliassime pretty close as well, 7-6, 6-4, I think that was to Felix. It was a real struggle for Felix in slow conditions to hit through Martinez. And this is likely to be the case again with Hallease, unless it is considerably quicker than in previous years. This was one which, you know, I wrote down this morning and had the idea of backing Martinez on the basis that it's going to be slow. Again, I think you're probably best watching now. Yeah, the men's qualies are on today as well, so you can watch that. Have a look and see how that things are shaping up there. But again, this is another one on the pattern, the same pattern that I've done on a lot of these ones, which is the guy who's more comfortable on slower courts against a guy who's more comfortable on quicker courts. And I would certainly say Hallease's best is on quick indoor hard, or quick, very, very quick outdoor. I'm not so sure about him on slow surfaces.
Yeah, minus 286, Hallease, 225, Martinez, spread 3.5, and the totals is 21.5. So just the one official pick for Wednesday's first round matches, and that is the plus money on Alex Popperin. And we think that is a great bet against an out of four, Mikhail Yima. There is a lean towards Pella again at plus money, plus 106. But I think the big thing we've got to talk about here, and the big thing for any better, is to watch the action today. Look at the court speed and then sort of assess those other matches where we have leans for Ramos, Courier to get something from Lehecka, and Martinez against Hallease. So just look for that court speed. Look for the results today. See how the clay quarters have gone on and then decide what you want to do. But just for us, tomorrow, Alexei Popperin is our official play at plus 104. Currently, we're showing a negative of minus 9.35 units. But hard lines last week again with Sinner. And confident that will be in the plus units not too distant future. There are three ways. Sean, if anyone has any questions for myself or Sean, you can just give us a tweet at Because We Win. And we mentioned him here on the podcast. I'll be back with Sean on Thursday because tomorrow I'll be traveling to Miami. There is usually on a Wednesday, we have the chat with James Blake, but he's busy as tournament director in Miami this week. So unfortunately, we won't have him on for a couple of weeks, but Sean will be back on Thursday with myself, looking at the matches on each individual day with some fantastic content all the way through this tournament here in Miami. Sean, what's the week got planned for you, my friend?
Studying, watching matches, looking at the stats, all that sort of stuff.
Well, sunbathing for me, watching a bit of tennis and drinking cocktails from the rooftop bar. That's what I've got planned. Anyway,
don't work too hard.
You know me. Anyway, there's three ways to follow us here. You can download Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on your preferred podcast provider for your podcasts. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Bet Rivers Network for all the fantastic content we have on there. And also you can follow us on @BecauseWeWin, which is our Twitter handle, which we share with all the fabulous handicappers we have on the Bet Rivers Network. There you will see my videos daily from Miami. You'll see, obviously, Sean's previews as well, and you'll be able to catch up on all the action that we have from all the soccer events this week as well. There's going to be a big week of international soccer, and that will be covered here on the Bet Rivers Network. Like I said earlier, you can stream all the matches on the Bet Rivers website. You take a wager, you can watch the game from your tablet or your mobile. And any questions you have for myself and Sean on this podcast, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to answer any of your questions. I know a few of you have messaged me in the past asking some questions, but I'd like to open the floor up to yourself and anything you want to ask, where Sean gets his stats from, the information he gathers. I know a lot of people are intrigued by that. And, you know, just give us a tweet and we'll answer your question on Thursday when we are back. Thank you very much for watching, Sean. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Pleasure, good luck this week. And we'll catch up again on Thursday. Take care, everybody. And that's another edition of Game Bet Match.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network.